This is Tactical Advantage with John Register, presented by Mount Carmel Veterans Service Center in partnership with Medicare Mentors, Wirenut Home Services, and Star Dental Institute. Tactical Advantage brings news, information, and resources to military-connected people of color throughout the Pikes Peak region. Now, here's your host, John Register.
Hey, great Saturday morning, everybody. Another Saturday of learning awakes us all. Welcome back to the Tactical Advantage. I hope you've been doing great out there. This is John Register, Paralympic silver medalist, combat veteran, change mindset warrior, and homemade waffle lover. And I'm honored to be your host. We are midway through July. Can you believe it? I mean, it's getting hot out there. It's getting warm out there. Hope you are having your pool parties and getting out and enjoying the summer with all of your family and all your friends. We've been trying to come out of this COVID thing, and I hope that you are really doing great. I got to have a big shout out for my man, Mike Lewis, for subbing in for me as I was on professional development out in hot Vegas for the last few days. And it was hot out there. I mean, 115 degrees, I think 118. My wife and I actually sat by the pool one night, and it was hotter in the water. I was like boiling like an egg. Oh my gosh. Vegas is open. I couldn't believe how many people were walking around Caesar's Palace. It was like bumper to bumper traffic. I was out there for the National Speakers Association Conference, and that's my professional development as a professional communicator, professional speaker. If you're out there and you have anything, an association that you're a part of, really get involved so that you can actually elevate. I heard that, you know, if you, you know, most people in associations or in a profession, they don't even read about the profession that they're in. And if you do, you can outdistance your peers by a lot, right? So just make sure you're always doing some professional type of development. All right, so let's get into our show. First, let's thank Mount Carmel Veterans Service Center, who provides this service to each of us each week, and to Al Vasquez, our sound engineer. Tactical Advantage is brought to you by Wirenut Home Services, Star Dental Institute, Medicare Mentors. And we have another great show for you lined up today. We have some exciting guests, Nicole Howling with Hiring Our Heroes and the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, John Dix, Peer Navigator, Veteran Integration, and Justin Verhulst, UCCS intern over at Mount Carmel and AdPro 360. We'll be talking about transitions primarily throughout this entire show. Follow us on the Podbean podcasting platform for all archive shows. Follow me by visiting my website, johnregister.com, and selecting your preferred way to connect on social at the top right portion of that page, johnregister.com. We're putting out a lot of great content right now, and we want your face in the place. So let's get ready to jump into the show on Tactical Advantage. We have a rock star in the house today, Nicole Howling, Program Manager for Hiring Our Heroes, U.S. Chamber of Commerce. Welcome, Nicole.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
I'm excited to see you, to learn more about your programs that you have going on. Tell us a little bit about Our Heroes program and what it provides.
So the Hiring Our Heroes program, it really comprises multiple programs across the board that kind of cover active duty military transitioning out, veterans, and military spouses. So the first program is the Corporate Fellowship Program, and that is for transitioning service members in their last 180 days of active duty. So basically, their command signs off and allows them to go into a corporate America job. And we partner with, you know, 60 or 70 different companies to go there. And so they basically Monday through Friday work at that company in whatever role that company fills that they need to go in, such as program management, finance, human resources. The list can go on and on. And basically the goal of that is to get a full-time job offer on the back end so they can kind of dip their feet into corporate America before they actually get out of the military.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So I was kind of sitting up, I'm thinking about this, you know, and this corporate fellowship program, does it really lend itself to one kind of transitioning service member? I mean, I kind of sometimes hear that officers have a better chance of getting the higher paying jobs, and then the kind of enlisted are kind of in the lower area, kind of more blue collar jobs.
You know, I would beg to differ on that. You know, I see in my program, and again, you know, because Fort Carson is here, we do get a lot of Army, but, you know, we cover all services across the board.
Sure.
I get anything from the junior enlisted E4 person all the way up to the O6, and sometimes that junior enlisted person just has the right skills, and they do end up getting kind of a better salary than that O6. It really just depends on the roles that they're fulfilling. Is it a technical role? Is it an advanced role? Like, what type of role is it with the company? company. But, you know, across the board for the corporate fellowship program, our average salary is $93,000.
Wow. So that's, it's really advantageous then for the transition. How do you, you're doing programs like this to kind of get the word out. How else is the chamber getting the word out to make sure that folks know that there's this program's available for them before they transition?
You know, so we have about 16 different program managers, and we brief at all, you know, mostly all of the military installations. So that's where we can kind of get them firsthand when they're a year or so out and really prepare them for this program. You know, we do a lot of advertising. We're on all social media links, you know, Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn. So it's just, and a lot of it's word of mouth. You know, it kind of spreads like wildfire. Once one person has a good experience, or once one company has a good experience, they tell their friend at another company, like, hey, you should look into hosting fellows with this, you know, corporate fellowship program.
Who are some of the, you know, you talk about these relationships, you don't have to name names if you can't. But some of the success stories, right? So you see a person come through and like, oh my gosh, maybe we at least get that placement, and they just took off and are just kind of running the world now.
So I will tell you, I do have a story. I have and I have two, and I'll just mention first names, so it's, you know, kind of, you know. I'll go 06 and then I'll do an enlisted person. I had an 06. She was a hospital commander. She was really nervous about her transition because her and her husband were transitioning a year apart.
Yeah.
And her husband's actually doing my program, the next cohort that starts in August, and she just finished in January. But I mean, she brought her own company, and she brought multiple companies with her that wanted to host her.
Wow.
And she ended up, you know, getting a very advantageous job with 3M. And now she's, you know, because of her role with 3M, she's now bringing in fellows behind her to help, you know, kind of pay it forward in the transition for other service members. And then I've also had a junior enlisted person who was a logistics person in the Army, E4, and they got picked up by Amazon. And, you know, now they are kind of running with Amazon and coming to help open up the new Amazon location that's right by the airport in Colorado Springs.
The big spaceship thing.
Yes, that's right, you know, near the airport. So really, it just depends on, you know, it's about a skill set. It's about how hard you push. It's about getting in there and wowing the companies that you're with.
So you have the corporate fellowship program. Are there other programs that you also have as well?
Yeah. So very similar to the corporate fellowship program, we have a military spouse fellowship program.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a 6-week program because, you know, military spouses are ready to work now. They don't have to wait until they're off active duty. So military spouses can work now. Again, they have all the same avenues to go with all the same companies. You know, we kind of do that program in the cohort model, just like the corporate fellowship. But we also release resumes for military spouses once a month because, again, we realize that they are ready to work now as opposed to waiting.
You know, I was thinking about, you know, does this also work like for retirees, or is this just kind of for the active duty transitioning service member?
So the corporate fellowship is for those transitioning, the military spouse program, obviously for military spouses, but we also have a Salesforce program that active, you know, transitioning military members, retirees, and military spouses can look into. And it's about getting a Salesforce certification. And, you know, Salesforce is like the number one customer relationship management system. And so you can.
CRM.
Yes. CRM. Yeah, right. So you can actually, because of your military status, you can actually get one of those certifications for free. And then once you have that certification, you can apply to our Salesforce fellowship. It's very competitive, but you can apply and, you know, potentially get picked up to do that. And, I mean, you know, those average salaries are, you know, last data we had was about 87,000 a
wow,
year.
Wow. For just for managing Salesforce.
Yeah.
Everybody out there, if you're out there, you know, this is not a pitch for Salesforce, but I'm just saying, you know, $80,000+ in a market like this is probably pretty good to kind of get a certification for.
Yeah. And many of those Salesforce positions are remote. So
yes.
That's, you know, that's another added bonus if, you know, you want to work remote.
And I have another system too, but I won't say what it is. But however, I do want to say they're fantastic systems to make sure that business is moving forward, not only for you, but for how you keep in contact with the people that you want to stay in relationship with.
Yeah.
So I want to shift gears just a little bit. So dinner, we're going to shift over. You used to be a roller derby girl.
I did. So it's
oh my gosh. I mean, I'm thinking about the ones that you used to jump over people and slam them to the ground.
People,
and
slam them to the walls. Yeah. So it started. So, you know, I kind of equated to, as a kid, you know, many young females, children, you know, they're doing like ballet or piano. And my mom's like, you're going to be different. Like, you're going to skate.
Holy cow.
And so I did just competitive figure skating until I hit my teenage years. And then just the friend circle that I had from the skate world, they're like, hey, you know, you want to try speed skating. And so that was competitive. And I'm like, yeah, that works. And then it was like, hey, you want to do roller derby? And I'm yeah, let's see what that's like. And so I just, you know, it was a fun period of my life. I did it for about 5 years, and then I joined the military, and then I would, you know, do it off and on. And then the last time I actually did anything in roller derbies was when my husband was stationed over in England, and they had a pretty competitive team over there.
Wow. Who are you skating for there?
So it was just a little small farm team out of Oxford. They were just kind of getting started, but they needed people to help teach kind of, hey, this is what you're doing. And like, we would get people that have never even been on roller skates before.
Wow.
And so it's like, hey, we're going to start from the basics. Like, let's teach them.
You weren't slingshotting them around the
good. Oh, no, we were slingshotting.
Oh
yeah, no, it's still, you're still slingshotting. You know, I'd come home and, you know, I'd change, and I'd have like shorts on, and my mom would be like, what in the world is like, what is going on with you? And I'm like, it's just roller derby. And she was like, I didn't know any better. And I'm like, yeah, I know. But it was a really fun period of my life.
Oh my gosh. That's amazing. I have all these images of on the television, you know, everybody just jumping over everybody.
It is very true. And, you know, I did, you know, many teams are, you know, there's some female teams, there's some, you know, male teams, but, you know, I was always on a co-ed team. So, you know, you have to learn to be rough and tough and kind of take it because, you know, you're getting smashed by somebody that's, you know, twice your size, or you're trying to smash someone and move them out the way that's twice your size. So it was a lot of fun, a lot of fun.
That's crazy. So I'm thinking about this in terms now of like transition. Mm-hmm. So you have this transition that's happening. And I think inside the roller derby itself, there are all these transitions that are always happening. You know, mm-hmm. how you're going to get whatever the thing is. You got a ball or something that you're blocking for.
Your team, your head lead person is trying to get completely around,
all around.
And lap the person, their head defense person. So,
and there's lots of work that has to be done and strategies.
Yeah.
Have you found a way to take those strategies from like roller derby into the job that you have now at the chamber? To help others to overcome their transitions?
So, yeah. So, you know, like anything, you know, roller derby, it's hard work and it's dedication. And so is your transition. You know, military members, whether you're retiring or separating, or even the military spouse who's maybe going back into the workforce or just getting into the workforce for the first time, you have to own your transition. Just like you have to own your position and own your transition at roller derby, you have to own it and you have to put the hard work in. You know, finding a job after the military is like a full-time job. You know, luckily in Colorado, there are so many great resources available, but A, you have to own your transition. You have to put the hard work in, you have to put the dedication in, and you have to take criticism of what you're doing right and what you're doing wrong. Take it with a grain of salt. People are just trying to help you, but sometimes it's things you don't want to hear, especially when it comes to like your resume. People say, you know, I worked so hard on this resume and you took a look at it and you just completely shredded my resume. And I said, yes, that's true, but I've been doing this type of work for a long time now, and I know what companies are looking for. And, you know, so I kind of equate it to, I was prior military. I've been around the military, you know, over 20 years. If I don't understand your resume, you can't necessarily assume that, like, one of those HR managers will, even though we're in a military, enriched environment here in Colorado. So own it. You have to own your transition.
Wow. I'm thinking. I love that. Own your transition. Own your position. That's fantastic. I'm stealing that. That's great.
Okay.
and feedback is a gift. It's you have to look at it as a gift because if you don't know what you don't know, then you just don't know.
That is very true. We say that. You know, there's a lot of people in this space here in the transitioning to help military veterans, military families in the transition space. And, you know, that's kind of one of the common themes is you don't know what you don't know. And most of us who work in this environment, we've been there before. Mm-hmm, we've transitioned in the military. So let us help you. Let us help you learn from the mistakes that we made along the way. So you don't go down that path and you you have success in the end.
And how has that changed, like, in the resume? Because I know a lot of stuff is online. You have a lot of companies that are online now that are doing resumes, and for both, for the employer and the employee, to marry them up together. How has that shifted in helping veterans to understand that process?
So I think, again, here in Colorado Springs, more people are really understanding that, you know, some people haven't translated their resume over, and there's tons of services to do it in Colorado Springs, all of which are free. Use those services. But I think more and more hiring managers are getting used to seeing their resumes for military people as they start to separate. So they start to kind of understand the lingo. Mm. So it's about, you know, the hiring managers understanding the lingo and then the military member, again, owning it and, you know, trying to figure out who, you know, gather your resources and figure out who can help you translate that resume into what a civilian company is looking for.
Yeah, that's always a challenge.
It is a challenge.
Always tough. And I think that's. Also, you know, people say, thanks for your service. And these companies, but we don't understand what you did. You know?
Yeah, it is. If they can't understand what you did, if you can't articulate what you did in civilian terms, you can't expect a company who's not necessarily in the military contract environment, you can't expect them to understand it. Again, resources are out there, you know, mm-hmm. Mount Carmel being one of them. You know, I've helped, you know, I won't write somebody's resume for them, but I will definitely help them mm-hmm. translate those skills and say, okay, this was what your military title was. You know, first sergeant. Everyone's like, what is first sergeant? I said, well, that's human resources. You know, you're kind of, you know, so right. It's really helping them understand what their role looks like in a civilian company and also understanding that HR in the military doesn't really look like HR in the civilian sector lot. So, you know, kind of what you did in the military may not 100% translate over to what that civilian job is. But, you know, again, be open, own your transition, learn from, you know, especially when you're doing our programs or the other programs that are in the community. Take it in like a sponge, soak everything up and learn, and then you can, you know, add that to your resume.
So I was a radio and teletype guy.
Okay.
Rat rigger, that we call them rat rigs.
Okay.
And so we key the microphone, 50,000 watts of power is going out and we're talking, communicating. What would you think, kind of off the top of your head, what would I be in the translation of the 31 Charlie rat rig teletype?
Really? So like a lot of people look at it like it's just as a communications, you know, you just kind of broadly go into communications. And again, you know, that goes to play like many career fields in the military, all branches, they've merged and you're something different now and they've merged again. And so what somebody may have thought of was, you know, a Charlie, you know, 31 Charlie, maybe something completely different now. So it's really,
totally something different now.
Yeah.
It's all 29 series.
Yeah. You really have to like learn all of the, like I was Air Force. So for me, it took a long time to learn all of like the Army MOSs. And even still, I have a cheat sheet because I'm like, okay, what is this again? And so it's really, you really have to get creative because sometimes those jobs just don't transfer over, you know, like the guys that are, you know, on tanks, you know, if they don't want to be a heavy equipment operator, what does that translate to? Mm-hmm. So you have to kind of look at the other skills that they have, like the leadership skills that they bring to the thing, you know, the table, and not necessarily the hard skills that they had in the military.
We're talking with Nicole Holling, Program Manager of Hiring Our Heroes, U.S. Chamber of Commerce. Hey, Al, over there in the sound booth, you know, she just said I'm a 31 Charlie and I'm communications. So I think we're on the right path. All right. So, you know, what can companies, local companies do to support, you know, hiring our Heroes program?
So really, the biggest way that they can support in the local area or if they're a national company is go on our website and apply to be a host company. You know, tap into the pool of candidates that we have here and nationally. That's one of the biggest and easiest things that they can do is go on, apply. They'll get to talk to one of the program managers in the area that they're interested in and then start hosting fellows and tapping into mm-hmm. that pool and have them become part of your team. And then, you know, they can recruit their friends. And so you get a really good talent pool of, you know, military and military families, military spouses, you know, it also adds to the diversity in your workforce. Mm-hmm. So that's like kind of the number one thing that they can do to get involved if they want.
Have you seen couples go through together?
I haven't. We have had that in the past, but here in Colorado, I haven't had a married couple come through at the. No, I did. I take that back.
Okay.
I did have two young captains in the Army about a year and a half ago that both went to Amazon and both got hired on with Amazon.
Wow, that's awesome.
They were happy because they can kind of get the same shift and ride to work together because they live in the Springs and they're going up to Denver. So, you know, we do see some married couples. A lot of times if it's a dual military couple, they'll be at different points in the transition. So one member will come through like Kim did, and she went through in January to April cohort. And now her husband is going to come through in the August to November cohort. So a lot of times you'll get them kind of a cohort or two apart. And so it's really interesting to see the difference in the, you know, the military, the married military members.
And so different shift. Uh-huh. I love that story that got me thinking about something else. And I don't know why I'm thinking about this other thing because it doesn't even relate to this.
Yeah,
right?
No worries.
But I was thinking about, so I do, you know, when we were international traveling a lot,
right.
I was doing a lot of international travel. Military service members do that as well. Mm-hmm. But anytime I go international, I would always call the State Department and look for either the chargé d'affaires or the ambassador for that region, for that locale. Mm-hmm. And inevitably, they always had a relationship with the U.S. Chamber, mm-hmm. The national ones. Is there a way that you see a partnership, or is there – does this work globally as well, like for those that are stationed overseas, for these programs to actually operate while they are on foreign soil?
So we haven't really found, like, not to that fullest extent. Mm-hmm. So I do get a lot of people, and, you know, so do all of our program managers, that they, like, I have tons of people that are overseas right now, but their command has signed off on them to come to, like, for this instance, mm-hmm. to come mm-hmm. to Colorado their last 180 days and do the program. So it's kind of like their alternate duty location
gotcha.
While they're over there. You know, the goal would be, at, you know, I think at in times to find a way to make that relationship work so people can come, you know, do things overseas. And I think with, you know, the way that, you know, COVID has enabled, you know, more jobs to become remote, that's potentially something in the future that we can look at as, hey, they're overseas. They will be coming back to the mm-hmm. location. They just can't get back here now. Do you have a remote position? Because I will tell you that about 30% of the fellowship opportunities that are given to the people that I work with, they have a remote, you know, they've been remote or they're going to be a remote worker when the fellowship is over. So, you know, I see this kind of transforming and, you know, hopefully being able to go to, you know, different overseas locations. Hiring Our Heroes as a whole, we do military summits overseas. Mm-hmm. And so that we can do like hiring fairs, that way we can kind of catch them, you know, right before they get out to try to help them go into full-time positions and link up with companies when they make that transition back to the States.
Fantastic. So when's the next deadline for those interested in the program?
So the next deadline is in October. It's October 28th. That cohort will start in early January and run through April. So October 28th, you can go onto our website, hiringourheroes.org, and apply to become a fellow, whether you're transitioning a military member, military spouse, or you're interested in that Salesforce certification and fellowship with them.
That is fantastic. So talking about transition, owning your position, I love that. I told that to him, I'm going to take that all the way. AmChams, we got remote locations that people are trying to work all over the world. We've seen that with COVID. Absolutely, I think, is 100%. You know, going back to brick and mortar might not be the thing of the future, right? I think
right.
We're seeing that we can be productive at home and working in a remote environment. If you're looking to try to get into this program, www.hiringourheroes.org, hiringourheroes.org. We've been talking with Nicole Holling, Program Manager for Hiring Our Heroes, U.S. Chamber of Commerce. Thanks so much for being on today.
Thank you for having me.
All right, we'll be right back with Tactical Advantage and John Register right after this.
Stay tuned for more valuable information on Tactical Advantage on KPPM.
It's time to smile again. At Star Dental Institute, Dr. Gary Moore and his staff specialize in general dentistry, dentures, and orthodontics, as well as sedation dentistry and dental implants at affordable rates. With COVID-19 restrictions being lifted, now is the perfect time to visit Star Dental Institute, Colorado Springs' premier full-service dentistry office and one-day denture service center. The message is basic. It's safe to come back to the dentist. To schedule an appointment, call 719-597-7979 or online at dentalcoloradosprings.com. Star Dental Institute, proud sponsor of Tactical Advantage.
Now, back to Tactical Advantage with John Register.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Tactical Advantage. I'm John Register, and we have with us via Zoom, because we're all Zooming, John Dix, Peer Navigator, Veteran Integration Program on the Transition and Employment Team over at Mount Carmel VSC. Hey, welcome to the show, John.
Thank you.
Hey, I really appreciate you being on. And what is it that you actually do over there? What's kind of the big role that you have?
So my job is to assist veterans that are 1 year prior to separation to 2 years post-separation become employment ready. So I'll assist them with things like their resume. We can do mock interviews, make them aware of classroom opportunities that we have coming up, whether it's for resume reviews, classes that we offer on transition.
So do you know we're talking with Nicole Howling a few minutes ago, and she's over with Hiring Our Heroes at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. How do you all interface with them?
You know, if she finds a client that could potentially use our resources, she'll send them our way. And I don't know if she mentioned it or not, but back in the day, she used to be a peer navigator.
Absolutely. Yeah, I figured that you all knew each other. because she has been over there. What are some of the ways that that veterans are finding out that you do from Mount Carmel? I know we have, you know, this show here that pushes out, but also, you know, are you over at Fort Carson? Are you over the other installations trying to ensure that veterans are knowing about the services you're providing?
So Mount Carmel is on Fort Carson 4 days a week. We're there Monday through Thursday. I am personally there Mondays and Wednesdays, typically from 8 till noon. The transition office at Fort Carson allows us to come in and brief the soldiers in their TAP classes. And then my boss, Mark Smith, does all the Air Force bases, which is kind of ironic because I'm the Air Force guy going to the Army post and he's the Army guy going to all the Air Force bases.
That is. Well, every time I talk about the Air Force, I'm always, hey, thanks for the ride home. Really appreciate it. Come back from service. We really appreciate that. But, you know, When we're saying this, when you're saying that you guys are over at both of these installations, what are some of the struggles or challenges you're finding with just folks coming inside the door to know that these programs are available?
I hate to say it, but sometimes, you know, they wait until the last minute.
Yeah.
And they don't take advantage of the resources that are available to them while they're still in the service. You know, the Army will allow them to do what's called career skills programs where they can go and intern with a civilian company with the thought that even if they don't get hired by that company, they'll have learned about the civilian work.
Yeah. I know when I was going through the transition assistance program, I was down in San Antonio, Texas, and I was trying to figure out after having, getting out with the medical, injury and amputation to my left leg, I went through and was paying real close attention to it and actually did some interviews that I know didn't want to work for that company, right? I did some fast food restaurants. I actually did a bus company down in San Antonio. So a bus, can you think of an amputee going into a bus company to drive a bus around the city? And I got a callback. So I said, oh, they're looking for one-legged bus drivers in San Antonio. So it can just go that way. What are some of the success stories that you have heard of some of the individuals that have come through your programs?
So one of my earlier clients, he was applying here, applying there. We finally sat down, ran him through a mock interview, and then he was picked up by one of the local defense contractors. Within his first 30 days, he'd already received a promotion and a pay raise.
Wow, that's fantastic. And what got you involved in this work?
So I've been volunteering with the Prep Connect 360 class at Mount Carmel teaches for the last 5 years. As a matter of fact, I was literally stepping away from teaching my block and then coming up here to do the interview.
Wow. Well, thanks for doing that and taking some time away. Can you talk a little bit about the Veterans Integration Program and the Military Career Program? And how do those two, do they interface with each other? Are they two separate things?
They're separate in and only the fact that we do a delineation between still serving to 2 years post-service and in 2 years out through infinity. They get the exact same services. It's just the typical of, you know, how the military does things. It's a funding thing for us. So, but our programs cross-pollinate. If I need somebody that I have as a client that needs some assistance with a certification or something, I have used their funds to get them certification paid for.
So you were, I was looking here, you were an Air Force, you joined the Air Force instead of the Army because, well, New Jersey. And so explain that to me about, you know, how you got into the branch of service.
That was a bit of a joke. And if you're familiar with the geography of New Jersey, there's a certain fort there with my last name.
Absolutely. Dix. So, that was my first duty location.
So my apologies, but that was named for like my great, 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 great uncle.
Wow.
I was adept enough to realize that if I joined the Army, I was probably going to get assigned there and get dragged out for every thing. Oh, look, we've got his great nephew here now.
That's funny. No, it was actually one of my best duty stations. I operated a little MAR station there, military affiliated radio system. It was right at the end of the runway for McGuire Air Force Base. And so I'd always hear the F-4s fly right over when I was trying to make an important call. And, you know, F-4s, they don't really fly. They just kind of, you know, like they do with the helicopters, they beat the air into submission as they take off the ground.
The joke when I was in was the F4 proves the theorem that you can convert jet fuel into noise and smoke.
And a box can fly. Yeah, so for sure. When you look at, you know, the things that are going on, you know, some other things that are interesting is, you know, in the personal aspect is your son playing high school baseball with the sons of Major League Baseball players. How did that work? Did he turn into the majors? We just had the All-Star game. You know, the All-Star break just happened up in Denver.
He played with the great nephew of, you know, Colorado Springs local Hall of Famer, Goose Gossage. The major leaguer that he played with, I actually met him while he was a minor leaguer when I was in college. And I just kind of found it funny that, you know, 30 years later, our sons are playing high school baseball together.
Can you talk about the transition that it takes, right? The transition maybe from your son going into, you know, the high school colleges, and then you transitioning out of the military. And how do you use those lessons that you learned for the service members that are transitioning today?
Well, it's interesting because a lot of times when you're talking to these folks, and whether it's a, you know, a young specialist who's getting out after 4 years or a retiring command sergeant major, lieutenant colonel, is they don't know what they don't know. So that's one of the reasons why they like to hire peer navigators at Mount Carmel that have been through the transition.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I can share with them lessons learned. I'm like, look, you know, you've got that fabulous resume that you've written, and that's great for a job fair. But if you don't tailor it when you apply for a job, you're probably not going to hear back.
Yeah.
That's probably one of the biggest issues that they'll have when they first get into that transition process.
Are there any other lessons that you've learned that you share besides that?
One of them is network, network, network. Mm-hmm. One of the easiest ways to find a job. I mean, that's how I found the job here at Mount Carmel. That's how I found the job that I had previous to coming here. And then one of the things too, it's interesting, volunteer work can lead to a job, because I volunteered with Mount Carmel to teach this class for 5 years. So they kind of knew who I was, and it makes it a lot easier during the interview process if you know the people you're interviewing with.
I actually think that's a brilliant strategy on the networking, you know, times three, right? And then the volunteering work. One of the things I find with the networking is to do it while you are in. So I will work with Olympic and Paralympic athletes. And a lot of times those athletes find themselves in rooms where their sponsors or donors are right there with them. And it becomes like the eighth grade dance, that the wallflowers on one side of the room and another on the other. And no one wants to break the ice and walk over to ask the other one to dance, when in fact they both have some things that they like about each other that they want, and they just don't know how to engage and interact with it. So I think it's always really important to get out. Even when you're at different duty stations, we're just talking with Nicole a little earlier on this, and that was when you're out there at any type of installation all around the world, you know, get involved with the American Chamber, get involved with, you know, volunteering with some of that work, so that you are making those connections and relationships. What do you think about that? Did you do that I know you did it with Mount Carmel. Were there some other things you did it with as well?
You know, I've done some of the professional things. I used to be in construction, so we had a SAME membership, which is Society of American Military Engineers. So as a small veteran-owned, disabled women-owned, minority-owned small business, you know, we were highly popular with some of the large companies, you know, so that they could, you know, check the box with the federal government.
When you look at, you know, kind of staying on the networking key, I think, because what were some of the specific strategies that you did when you found a relationship, and how do you, you know, help other veterans understand how to make those network relationships work? What are the tactical ways to do those things?
One of the easiest things is, you know, and I tell my clients this all the time. I'm like, go find that old command sergeant major, that old first shirt, that old company commander that's already transitioned out, and make the connection with them, and just let them know, hey, I'm getting out here in the next year or so. I want to connect with you on LinkedIn. One of the things that, you know, we do as peer navigators at the networking events that we host, and our next one will be here at Mount Carmel this Thursday, is we act as referees, and we color code our, you know, job seekers from our employers. And if we see too many job seekers kind of congregating together and not talking to employers, we'll kind of break it up and go make introductions for them. That's one thing too, is ask somebody to make that introduction for you.
I love that. And how important have you found LinkedIn? I mean, LinkedIn for me has been It's been a great network. It's not like a Facebook or Twitter or, you know, it really does, with at least in my business, helps me to find people who are like-minded and are looking for the services that I might be able to provide.
Yeah, it's a great way to, you know, make those professional connections. You know, as a matter of fact, you know, we're going to have another LinkedIn class here at Mount Carmel in August. It's actually going to be taught by a LinkedIn employee who happens to live out here in the Springs.
Well, and when does that class start?
Hang on, I'm going to have to check my email because it just came in this morning.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, we can get that. I want to make sure we have that out in the show notes so that people know exactly, you know, who to call. Who's the person that runs that class?
So it's Nikki Bosco.
Mm-hmm. And I want to make sure that we have, you know, that people know how to reach out to Nikki for that. Because I think it would be a fantastic way when you're talking about the networking to do those things. What are some ways that veterans can volunteer to get that experience as well in the Colorado Springs area?
So, I mean, we do have volunteer opportunities here at Mount Carmel, especially on Food Thursdays. You know, they can help with the food drives. September, we'll have Patriots Day, which will be the big food giveaway.
And where can service members, you know, find you all? Are you online or, you know, how do people reach out?
So they can go to our webpage and they can actually connect to me. If they've been out for more than 2 years, they can connect with either Nick or Alon. And if they're the spouse of a service member and there's no expiration date on the spouse, you know, that spouse can connect with Ashley. And if they are the adult children, which is between 18 and 26 of service members, whether they're still in, retired, or have already separated, they can also be seen by Ashley for transition help.
So when you were in service, when was the time when you really started thinking about your transition?
Because there weren't resources like Mount Carmel or the Chamber really out there, I kind of ended up retired and then kind of hitting the pavement, so to speak. It's great that these things are here now, but it made it a little harder for me. And then literally I bumped into somebody who was one of the facilitators with Prep Connects, kind of how my transition started. And then the next thing I knew, I had started working as a project manager for a construction company.
Do you think that this is about the right length of time for these programs right now, or should they have a longer runway for getting out of service?
Anything beyond a year, and I think it's not going to hurt you, but trying to apply for a job, you know, when you still got a year commitment to the military isn't going to help. Most of the time, they really won't talk to you until they know you're on terminal leave.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with John Dix, Peer Navigator, Veteran Integration Program on the Transition and Employment Team over at Mount Carmel Veteran Service Center. When you look at this, are there any like public-private partnerships? I know we talk a lot about that with Mount Carmel that you have seen that really are working well for helping veterans transition.
So we do a lot with the Workforce Center, especially with the veterans who have been out for more than 2 years. And that's where a lot of that funding comes from. And like I had mentioned earlier, I've used those funds for service members that, you know, are just gotten out of the military.
Anything else I may have left out that you wanted to make sure that we covered today to ensure that this the southeastern part of our community understands that Mount Carmel's in the house, we're here, and we're here to serve?
Biggest thing is, you know, still in the military or you have separated, please contact us. That's what we're here for. We'll get you squared away, get you job ready.
All right. Well, thank you so much. We've been talking with John Dix, Peer Navigator, Veteran Integration Program on the Transition and Employment Team over at Mount Carmel Veteran Service Center. Thank you so much for being with us.
Appreciate it. Thanks, John.
All right. We'll be back with more Tactical Advantage and John Register right after this.
Stay tuned for more valuable information on Tactical Advantage on KPPF.
If you're Medicare eligible and military connected, Rich Lewis and Medicare Mentors will guide you through setting up coverage to make sure that you have the right options. Call Rich Lewis at Medicare Mentors at 719-886-3377. Medicare Mentors, personal guidance at no cost consultation for military connected service members. Committed to advocate for you today and all of your tomorrows. Proud sponsors of Tactical Advantage. Heard every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on KPPF.
Now, back to Tactical Advantage with John Register.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Tactical Advantage. You got John Register here, and in studio with me, Justin Verhulst, veteran UCCS intern at Mount Carmel over Veteran Service Center, doing a work study at AdPro 360, a full-service advertising agency. Hey, welcome, Justin.
Hey, John. Good morning. It's good to be here.
It's great to see you again. And tell us a little bit about AdPro 360.
Yeah, John. So AdPro 360 is an advertising agency, and we handle all sorts of media. We do social media, web design, graphic design. We have a various range of clients, and I really enjoy being there.
And so how long have you been there for now?
As of right now, I've been there for the better part of the summer. So I would say a good 4 weeks so far. I'm learning a lot about social media and how the communications and marketing world works. I am a communications major at UCCS, and this is a great opportunity to actually use these skills in the field of my degree. So I really hope to become a bit of a spark plug. I'm kind of shadowing everybody over there right now and learning a little bit of everything on the SEO side, the graphic, the graphic design, the communications and marketing, the PR. I really hope to kind of gain these skills and maybe earn a seat there after graduation.
You know, one of the things that we see in the, we've been talking about transitions on this whole kind of theme of this whole program. What was the transition like for you from military over to UCCS?
Wow, John. So this experience for me was, in short, terrifying. I got out of the Army. I was artillery, combat arms.
Can you hear?
Yeah. My hearing's not so great. But I got out and I was like, okay, now what? I'm sure most veterans do. And my dad kind of gave me the nudge, hey, go to school. You got the benefits. And I was kind of scared because I wasn't the best student in high school. My priorities were all out of whack, as you can imagine. So
I can imagine for me because mine were out of whack too.
And I couldn't help but wonder, am I still a bad student? Am I gonna do better than high school? It was very scary. I started out at Pikes Peak Community College as a business major. And my first class, I was like, you know what? Maybe I can't do this. And I just hit the ground running ever since.
Wow. So, you know, we're talking a couple segments. You know, we had Nicole Holling on. She's the program manager for Hiring Our Heroes. And then we also had on John Dix on Peer Navigator. Were any of those services, did you use any of those services before getting out?
Actually, no. And I tell a lot of people this and a lot of my veteran friends, when I got out, I wish I would have known about something like Mount Carmel when I got out. It's a great resource, and I feel like a lot of people can benefit from it.
Yeah, I think that's I was trying to, push in that space. And so those audience members that are listening out there, it's one thing. So I'll put in this context, right? So as a person with a disability, I'm always trying to get younger kids to know their value and to know their worth. And so sometimes we'll go into schools and we'll say, let's do a program for kids with disabilities. And they'll say, well, we've opened our doors up. We're here. So why aren't they coming in the door?
Right.
So we really have to make a concerted effort to knock on doors when people have never known something is in existence. Yeah, then once you get in, the word will spread. But it really does take that kind of, knock on the door and make sure that folks know. What was it like kind of deciding, when you made that leap? Because a lot of times, you said it was fearful, but the jump is our jump. We have to own the jump. We have to own the decisions that we make. So right when you're at the edge, tippy toes are on the edge of the diving board or the cliff or whatever you want to say, and you're about to jump off into this new experience, what made you commit to it?
Well, that's an easy answer. My daughter, my I have a 3-year-old little girl, and she's the reason I went down the rope face first, and quitting's not an option. I just kind of kicked into dad mode, and my dad always pushed academics as a kid. And I didn't want to let my daughter down. I want to provide for the family. And she really is the fuel to my fire that just keeps me going on this academic journey.
Ray Lynn, right? And
yep.
And so, I love how you said she kicked into high gear because she's in Taekwondo.
Yeah.
Yes. So who's she studying with in the Colorado Springs area?
Actually, a shout out. She's at Family Martial Arts.
Nice.
Down off South Academy, and she's loving it. They're a great place. They are a fantastic place for little ones. They have a 3 to 4 year old program, and they work on stuff. They have a great way of integrating childhood development skills within martial arts. So it's not just kicking, punching, self defense. They actually, they do colors, numbers, and discipline. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. It's a great place. She loves it.
Wow. And so your wife, Jessica, who all, you know, number one support structure, talk about those two in your life and how family structure is really important for doing what you do.
It's extremely important. Without my wife, Jessica, and I don't think any of this would have been possible. She's a stay-at-home mom right now. She actually works with special needs kids too as well. And she's just my rock. She on the home front, she holds down the fort. She does everything. She makes time so that I can focus on school and work. She takes care of the kids. She does everything, and so I can channel all my focus towards, you know, the mission. And and like I said, without her, I don't think I would have made it very far.
You know, families are critically important, and I believe, you know, mine was as well during my transition. It was very scary time, but it was not something that I wanted to do in the moment because I had an injury. And so that forced a separation, or at least a choice that I could, do I want to still stay in and kind of work a desk job or something, or get out? And, you know, that's a really scary time. I think the longer runway we have for it, the more we are able to make a wise decision. But at some point, we do have to make the decision. And family, I think, is critically important for those decisions. Anything that Jess did to help you in that process?
I don't know. She was really there when I got out of the military. I'm a 100% disabled, permanent and total service-connected veteran. And she really helped with my mental issues, my PTSD. And she just kind of, much like my school, she just jumped in and... Mm-hmm. was ready to help. That's sometimes an issue that a lot of veterans face, you know, spouses and PTSD. But yeah, she's just an amazing, I think she's a superhero. she really helps me a lot.
So the partnership now, you're at UCCS. How far are you along in the program?
I'm a senior now. I graduate in the fall.
And so now you have this internship that's over at AdPro. How is that relationship working? You know, is that a... did you know about that, the AdPro, when you were, is that how you found out about it, or did you find out through like Mount Carmel?
The story is I took a military counseling leadership class with Kirsten Belair.
Oh, okay.
She works over at Mount Carmel. Yes. She's a behavioral health director. And she said after class one day, she said, "Justin, you're a communications major, aren't you?" I was like, "Yeah." And she says, "You know, I might have something for you." So because Mount Carmel had just recently lost their communications and marketing person. And so I met with Bob and Paul over there, mm-hmm. and they said, "Okay, you know, this is awesome. We want you on." And it just so happened at the time, AdPro was picking up their account and doing all their communications and marketing. So they're like, "Okay, well, why don't you spend most of your time over at AdPro? Because, you know, it'd be a perfect fit because, you know, you'll be actually using these skills that you're going to school for."
Wow. So talk about the relationship now. I mean, you're talking about what you're learning. You're kind of bouncing around, learning jobs. I mean, that was fantastic. I think it's a great way to learn the 360 of everything. AdPro 360, right? So you get a chance to learn a lot of smorgasbords. When I was working in my first job after the military, not my first one, but kind of the second one after, because I got fired from the first one. So I wouldn't do something unethical. So I just held that was an Army value. And it was such ingrained in me. I said, "I just can't do that. This won't happen." So anyway, I get kicked over this other job because in the DOD, of course, they don't really fire you. They just move you to another position and they put somebody else in there to work instead of firing the person that really should be fired. I'm over working at for this amazing woman. She just retired, Colleen Amstein, and she puts me into the MWR class, Morale, Welfare, and Recreation class, and I begin learning what it means to not just recreation, but how the Army systems of money and category A activities, B activities, C activities. And instead of bringing me back in the shop to start working, she actually let me go out and work some of the MWR instrumentalities that were out there. And I found that was like the best thing that could have ever done. When you look at this, you know, in your career right now, and you're getting a chance to look at all these smorgasbords of the opportunities, what's coming to the surface for you? Like, that could be the thing I want to do.
Yeah. So this, social networking is huge. And, I'm just blessed for this opportunity, and I'm hoping, I really enjoy over at AdPro so far. I really enjoy social media. I don't know why. I like creating the posts. I like getting the word out there. I'm like going to all these different events and taking pictures and meeting people. And growing up, my dad always told me I have the gift of gab. So I love going out and talking to people. I'm a very interpersonal person. I think I would like to hone in on social media or just anything really. I'm just ready to just keep soaring to new heights.
What do you think? What is it about social media that, I mean, because I was just at the National Speakers Association meeting that's over and it was in Las Vegas, Nevada. I mean, Vegas is open, y'all. I mean, holy cow.
Yeah.
People are out there. I was shocked, actually. I thought it was going to be a few, like 500 or some people in this. No, it was bumper to bumper, shoulder to shoulder, and everybody was just like, hey, MMA's going on. But when I was there, one of the speaker's daughters is really starting to run the family business. You know, she's like a teenager and she's getting like, during COVID, she was starting to get like 6 million, 8 million hits on TikTok. So we think of these things in the world of business, for example, and we say, oh, those are just for the kids. How do you see platforms like that being used for like a Mount Carmel to not be just for the kids, because 8 million, I'd love to have like that that kind of influence, right?
Right. So social media is huge. We live in a digital world. Most everyone's got a cell phone. You know, they get their news on their phone. You know, they communicate with their friends on their phone. But I think it's a big thing to have for Mount Carmel, especially for the person at home that's not too sure about getting up, going out the door and checking out Mount Carmel. You know, it's right there in the palm of their hand. But yeah, I think it's huge to reach out to target audiences using social media. That's just huge right now.
Have you learned like any strategies to put in place for like making posts?
As far as strategies go, I mean, you really want to like put yourself in the audience's shoes. Like, what, you know, if you were at home sitting on the couch looking at your phone, what would you search? What would you what would you like to read? You know, and that's kind of, I try to put myself in the reader's, you know, shoes.
You know, I'm pulling up right now. I was out there and this fantastic presentation was done on social media with Erin King. And she was always talking about one of her things is put the pub in publishing. And so she was saying, open with something personal. And we or our are the least persuasive words to open with. So starting with a you or your statement with inside the picture, explain like if we're going to post a picture, post not, you know, if you're going to put a food picture down there, why is the picture there? You know, I can see it's already a banana split. Don't tell me it's a banana split, right? Tell me what the story is behind to get to the banana split. Is that some of the things that you're learning?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you don't want to be redundant or repetitive. You don't, you know, if you got a, for example, if we had a, yeah, if we had a food distribution for Mount Carmel, I don't want to, you know, hey, you know, check out our food. You know, you don't want to be repetitive. But I find that you want to make something relatable. And I think that's what people like to read the most.
Is there anything that you would like to, you know, share with veterans right now as they begin their transition?
My message is, you know, don't quit. You know, take the leap, go down the rope, you know, head first, like McRaven would say in his book. I love that book. My message would be to social network, get to know people, check out Mount Carmel's resources. Like I said, I wish I would have known about something like that when I got out. They really are a saving grace for vets. They have a little bit of everything, you know, and just go for it and just keep going. You know, that's, you could do anything, you know. I just think most people, it's the uncertainty that kind of kills them, and that's kind of what got to me. And I'm glad I just went for it, because it's turning out to be work wonders for me. I feel blessed to have this work study, and that might potentially turn into a job.
Sure.
And keep fighting the good fight.
Yeah, you know, uncertainty does hold a lot of people back from making those transitions. But you know, even when I was out there keynoting, and I still. My last presentation I just had over the Broadmoor, I was challenging this group of senior executive leadership, and they were all saying, yeah, we're still in such uncertain times. And I understand, said, well, you know, leaders, executives, presidents, CEOs, when did you ever have certainty? And they kind of like, oh, yeah, right, you know. Mm-hmm. So we never really have the certainty. What we have is a system or a process or something that we can do day to day, the rituals that will lead into a rhythm that elevates us to a rise and then creates the results that we're looking for in the lives that we want to have. But certainty is never, it's never been certain. We never knew what's going to happen next.
Right, yeah. So with me, what kind of gave me another push was when I first got out of the military, I went straight to the oil field, you know, turning pipe wrenches,
nice.
hard work, heavy stuff, you know, just hard manual labor. Yeah. And then my next job after that was a warehouse job. I had three manual labor jobs right out of the military. And one day I just figured, that's enough. You know, I'm hurting already. I'm just gonna work myself to death. So I was like, you know, maybe I should get, you know, go back to school and, you know, turn this into something that's, you know, less labor intensive.
So you're not lifting a whole lot of pipes and turning wrenches on social media?
I don't know, those pens on my desk are pretty heavy. But yeah, no, I think I made the right decision. Yeah, mainly it was for my well-being. And
do you think, you know, with that, you know, in the relationship, so you have that, and I was going to talk a little bit about the networking, right, and how we were talking in an earlier part of the show about network with everybody that's out there that you can. So working some of those jobs, could you actually go back and be that social media person for them to show behind the scenes what's going on?
You know, I've actually thought about this. I was thinking about this the other night, you know.
You just thought about it, right? I just told you, I gave you that idea. No, I'm just kidding.
No, I really was. I was thinking about this the other day, and I was like, wait a minute, you know, now with these skills that I'm learning, I actually have a friend of mine who she owns Victory One Roofing in town, and mm-hmm. they have a race, a sprint car race team, and now she started her own boutique. And then she messaged me. She's like, aren't you learning how to do social media? And she's like, I'm going to call you later. I was like, okay. But yeah, it just makes me happy to know that the skills that I'm learning can be applied, and I think they're valuable.
Absolutely. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we've been talking with Justin. He's a veteran over at the UCCS intern program that they have in a partnership relationship with Mount Carmel Veterans Service Center, doing work study with AdPro 360, a full service advertising agency right here in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Hey, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thanks, John. Thanks for having me.
Hey, we'll be right back right after this with more Tactical Advantage.
Stay tuned for more valuable information on Tactical Advantage on KPPF.
In today's tough economic times, it can be hard to make sure you're working with companies that have your best interest at heart. Because of this, you can count on the Wire Nut to go the extra mile to make sure that you and your investments are protected. You can trust the Wire Nut for licensed HVAC technicians, master electricians, and plumbers. The Wire Nut is your complete home service company. They strive to make sure you are comfortable in your home and that your home is safe. Call the Wire Nut Home Services at 719-465-5902. Online at thewirenut.com. Proud sponsor of the Tactical Advantage.
Now, back to Tactical Advantage with John Register.
Well, that does it, ladies and gentlemen. Another show of Tactical Advantage in the can. Thank you so much, Mount Carmel, for supporting us. Here's what we're going to be doing. If you want more information, just shoot me an email to info@johnregister.com. We will get the show notes up for you and everything, but info@johnregister.com will make sure that you have all the information that you need from all of our show guests. If you are liking the show, get it on the Podbean and leave a comment. We really want your comments out there for the show. How can we be even more support? Who do you want to see on the show? Make sure you're leaving a comment right there. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on KPPF Radio 95.7 FM, 1040 a.m. and 98.5 FM, or stream online at kppfradio.com. A great big thanks to all of our guests today for sharing their wisdom with us, and follow me throughout the week and get all of my social media handles on johnregister.com. Remember two things: when truth outweighs fear, we will commit to a courageous life, and always go forth and inspire your world. Because go is your command, forth is your direction, inspire, well, that's your vocation, because only you can do this work. And world, it's your sphere of influence. My name is John Register. Thanks again for listening. Talk to you next week on Tactical Advantage. Go forth, inspire your world. Bye for now.
This has been Tactical Advantage with John Register, heard every Saturday at 8 a.m. on KPPF, presented by Mount Carmel Veterans Service Center in partnership with Medicare Mentors, Wirenut Home Services, and Star Dental Institute. Listen to the companion podcast on kppfradio.podbean.com.